Good morning, Australia, and good afternoon, America. Welcome back to Radio Tony. And this is a new show series called Art You Deserve. And I'm incredibly excited to have an international artist on the show with me called Tracy Eaton. But before I tell you about beautiful Tracy, here's what you need to know. For those of you listening live online on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitch, Payo is listening and waiting to respond to your questions and comments with links and information. And if you want to see the replay of this show, don't forget to jump onto Binge TV across the US, Hero Go TV across the US, and the Tony TV channel app on all LG, Roku, and Samsung smart TVs worldwide. So this is a new show, and it's called Art You Deserve with Tracy Eaton. This is the first of a six-show series with international modern artist Tracy. I'm incredibly lucky to have this talented lady on our show and excited about the creative processes we will explore over the next 6 weeks. We even have a little surprise planned for the end of each show, but we'll tell you about that towards the end of the show. So stay tuned. Here's what you need to know about Tracy. Tracy is an artist that, from a curator's perspective, creates passion art. All who see it fall in love with it. All who see it want it. They absolutely do. Born in New Zealand, Tracy has made Australia her home since 2006 and has become one of Australia's most highly coveted artists. Full stop. Her work is in demand in Australia and around the globe, and her exclusive commissioned artworks were created for the nominees of the Academy Awards, and this has secured Tracy as one of the sought-after artists across the world. Tracy has been creative her entire life, but with a mantra to be bold, be brave, be brilliant, it's no wonder that Tracy looks at life with openness and willingness to explore. She has no plan B. She chooses a path that embraces enthusiasm and wholeheartedness. Her expressive painting style is bold in colour, allowing the flow of the creative process to take her where she needs the work to go. Painting professionally since her 30s, Tracy dedicates her time to exploring new ways to enhance her craft and connect with her audience through art and creativity. Certified in occupational therapy and colour psychology, Tracy brings a depth of understanding about colour and its impact to creativity. Colour creates immense energy, evoking a subconscious emotive response after one, and is a catalyst for change. So incorporating all of these into her artwork is important, and she creates strikingly luxurious artworks that revolutionize any space and any home. This knowledge brings her feelings and vision to life. Welcome to the show, Tracy. I'm so delighted that we're embarking on our creative journey together with this, the first of a series of six shows. Hello.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be part of this.
So just for the audience, as with first shows, often things don't go to plan. So not only did Tracy have trouble accessing the link for the show, but I walked into my office half an hour before the show to prep, and I had no power and no internet. So Tracy's madly texting me, and I'm going, don't text Tracy, don't text Tracy. And I'm just about to send her a message and say, oh my God, I have no internet. And it came back on, rebooted, and we're all good to go. So both of us have had an interesting start to the show, but I'm really excited to have Tracy on the show to explore the creative processes. I'm not a painter, so this has incredible curiosity for me around the creative process. I, however, adore Tracy's work. It is some of the most beautiful painting that you will see. And we're going to discuss those things as we go through the program. Now, Tracy, I wanted to start today by talking a little bit about your life journey. And you're a New Zealander. What was it like growing up in New Zealand?
I think it's one of the best childhoods I could have. I actually grew up on a farm, and the one thing I love about New Zealand is it's very real, it's humble, it's honest, and what you see is what you get. So, a handshake is a deal. It was when we grew up anyway. Your word is your bond, and it's just very, I don't want to use the word simple, but it's just how I consider a true connection with people to be. It was fantastic. And growing up on a farm gave me a chance to, gave all of us a chance to just explore life and nature. Yes. And, I don't know, even down to things like, I'm not a vegetarian, but, we didn't have a shop. A shop was an hour away. The town was an hour away. So we would kill our food. We would grow our food. I mean, everything that is traditionally what was way back when is how I grew up. So that in itself, I think, is incredible in terms of life lessons. And I was just thinking about this earlier, and I thought that's probably where my love of nature started. I'm so inspired by nature. So I feel like that's a huge part of where that began, because it was, it's New Zealand, it's freezing. So it's cold. The colors are vibrant. There's beautiful flowers in springs. We have massive seasons. So everything is constantly changing and evolving, which I also really, really liked.
New Zealand. Yeah. It's a beautiful country, isn't it?
Stunning. The environment is stunning. The challenge for me, because there's always positives and not so, I don't like the word negative, not so positive. Yep. The challenge for me is I have a very, very expensive mind and a very independent, bold personality. Yes. So once we moved from the farm into a small town, there was like, I think 3,500 people, so I could go to high school.
Yes.
I never felt that I fitted a small town ethos, because I was just, my mind was constantly active, and I was always thinking about possibilities and what if, and there's a big wide world and you never know what could happen. So I felt very throughout my teens that I was suffocating. And that's through no fault of anybody. My family are really supportive. They're adorable. It was through no fault of anything, but just the fact that I felt that I needed to be somewhere that allowed me comfortably to spread my wings. New Zealand, whilst it's humble, does, like Australia, does have a tendency to have, tall poppy syndrome. So when you are someone who loves to be a little different, or to try something different. There's also a lot of people who are very quick to go, hell no, don't do that. You need to be like the rest of us. That's just not my jam, really. But it was beautiful. It's a great way of growing up and living.
Yeah, we have lots of similarities in the way that we grew up, except, I grew up in rural Australia and small town, and same feelings, very much identify with that, Tracy. So obviously after moving to small town, you grew up and eventually you progressed into corporate life. Can you tell us a little bit about that, what you did and what it was like for you in corporate life?
Interesting question, because, obviously I've always been highly creative. I'm a big picture person. But after years of being in corporate, I realised I'm not a general manager's backside. That's just not how my brain works. My process is, oh, great idea. Oh, this is how it's going to look. And I have I have a very, very challenging time working out the steps in between and then help. That's just not my jam. So corporate for me was an interesting transition. I never finished school, actually. I got to my last year, because I used to do drama and debating and all of that, cultural stuff. So So I stayed at school to finish the school play because I was the lead. So I'm like, we so have to do that. And literally 2 weeks after that show finished, I'm like, I'm out of here. See you later. So moving into the corporate space took quite a while because I worked for, I think, two and a half years. And I was going to travel. I was out. I was gone.
Yeah.
No, I better get a career behind me. So I actually then moved into, I studied to become an occupational therapist. The corporate transition happened when, after about 2.5 years or so, 2 years of doing OT, I decided that I wanted another challenge. Surprise, surprise. Yes. Constantly change.
No surprise there.
So I moved into actually selling wheelchairs and specialised seating and medical equipment.
Yes.
Because that's kind of what I knew. Mm-hmm. And over a period of years, that morphed into selling pretty much anything. I sold, oh my God, mortgages, insurances, a lot of telecommunications and technology based careers, which is so the polar opposite of how my head works. But I felt like I had something to prove, I think. Prove to myself that I can do it. And I liked the chase of it, I guess, the challenge of creating something. And most of the territories that I took on as sales were quite run down. So I needed to build them up. Interestingly, the moment I built them up, I got bored and I left. So after I never recouped the rewards of my hard work, I guess. And I throughout my corporate career, I struggled with being consistent because it wasn't my natural state. So I would be like this. I'd be up and down like a yo-yo. And my bosses were like, oh my God, you're a freaking nightmare to manage because 1 minute you're on and the next minute you're not. And looking back, I'm kind of like, well, all of that is totally understandable considering my personality and how my brain
works. Creative.
Which is why I like building the territory. I was creating something and then I'm like, okay, move on to the next one.
It's done. So, okay. Yeah.
So that made sense to me. And the consistency made sense because I'm so all or nothing. So if I felt it, great. If I didn't happen. That's me to a T. So we were in corporate sales for, I would say, 12 years of my life, 13 years of my life. And I'm grateful to for a lot of reasons because it taught me a whole lot about business.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I never really fit the mold. Never completely.
Definitely.
I didn't feel like I fitted the mold. So I think leaving was inevitable. It was going to happen one way, shape or form. Yeah.
Eventually. So something happened that changed everything about 15 years ago. Can you tell us about that, Tracy?
I got into a real, cycle of material wealth, actually, and following that treadmill and working ridiculous hours and just living for work, actually. And at the time we'd moved over here, I literally had been in my job for, I don't know, 6 months maybe. Considering my average turnover, as I said before, was about a year and a half. I was only partway through into my year and a half tenure job. I was in a very high stress, high end executive sales role. I had 10 clients, but they had significant businesses. And I'm not prone to panic attacks, I must say, but I remember this particular day vividly walking into the office. I opened up the door and, my God, I felt like I was going to explode. I could not cope. I literally couldn't deal. I was looking around everyone and I was like, I'm suffocating here. So I quit, which is also not my nature.
Not a quitter.
So I quit and thought, what the hell am I going to do now? So I went shopping because every girl goes shopping to feel better, right? Well, I did. I went shopping.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So the afternoon I spent, well, most of the day actually, I spent walking around the shops. And as I was leaving the store, and I guess this is probably the first burnout that I had ever, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
And as I was walking around the shops, as I was leaving, I walked past an art store. And in the window there was, there was easels and paints, and I stopped. And clearer than anything ever in my life was a thought came into my head that said, I need to paint. So I went into the store.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Like, thank God, you're right. So I walked into the store and bought, like, I don't know what. I bought so much stuff. I didn't know what I was buying. I hadn't painted before. So it was very much a let's just get all these things and see what they do. And for 2.5 years solidly, I was absolutely obsessed. I was immersed. So I think I've said to you before, I was talking to my husband about it at the time, and he was like, oh, great, the house is going to be tidy, the dinner's going to be on. not at all. The house was chaos. Like, it was just, there was canvases everywhere. It was my life for 2.5 years solidly. Yes. And that was the beginning, or not even beginning, it was the realization that I was, for the first time in my life, on my true path. Yeah.
Wow.
It was incredibly healing for me. So healing for me in a lot of ways. Just adored it. It came naturally to me.
Naturally? Yeah. And I'm guessing that with all things, when we discover our passion, there's a fulfillment and a flow to life. So did you feel all of those things across those couple of years?
Absolutely did. I didn't think about anything apart from, I didn't think about selling them for a long time. I didn't think about how much money I was making. I was just living. I was just living and breathing colour and creating and figuring out what I was doing.
What you liked.
I mean, I'll show you guys one day or at one point. I've got my very first painting that I ever did hanging in my studio. And I'll never, ever not have it there, because we all learn and progress and, improve. But I look at it now and go, oh, my God, really? Like, there's so much that I would do to change it and improve it, but I refuse to touch it because it's my first piece. So, and there is a very significant difference between that piece and what we paint now.
And speaking of that link to emotion and passion, you have continued to do that's the place for which you paint from. And as we'll talk about in upcoming shows, when you do commissioned work, you actually very much channel emotion and creativity from that space specifically for that piece that you're creating, whether it's a commissioned work or whatever. And we'll talk about and explore that later in the shows. So you were painting and enjoying it and loving it and having a great time. What was the point and what was this decision that made you decide, oh, my God, I think I can make a living out of this? Can you talk us through that?
That actually came a long time later. So remember, this was 15 years ago when I did that. And we all have our insecurities and our fears and our concerns, and we also have belief systems that have been through either created through experience or through upbringing. And about that 2 year mark, 2.5 year mark, I started going, oh, what are you doing, Trace? Before I say this, I'll say to you, I started selling internationally within a year of me painting ever. So I was actually already selling my artwork, and I was selling everywhere. So I used to do little mini exhibitions in hotels, so people would buy my work. And But I remember waking up one day and I was quite like, oh, my God, what are you doing? You're wasting your life. You can't make any money being an artist. This is ridiculous. This is a pastime. You're not good enough to do this. Go get a real job.
Yeah.
And that very much was as I reviewed that, over the period of years that have been, it was very much a belief system that had been implanted over years, and I wore it and I owned it, which is, I think, in part what led me into the corporate sector in the first place, because that was a real job. So I gave up painting full time and started my own company doing digital marketing. Yes. So that was in 2012? Yeah, about that. So maybe, no, 20, anyway, somewhere like that, 2010. Yeah. Anyway. Yes. So I continued to paint, but I did find that I became immersed in that world again that I had left, that the very world that was suffocating my personality and my growth and my being was the very world that I threw myself back into. And even to this day, when I feel really fearful, I revert straight back into business. Yes. So it became, it's a self-sabotage in a way, because it became my crutch, because I knew it. I knew I didn't have to think about it. I just knew it because I'd done it for so long.
Yes.
Whereas creativity and art was a total unknown to me. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what I was doing.
Like a polar opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, polar opposite.
Yeah.
So all of that business skill set was very much a learned behavior and a learned skill. Creativity for me was natural. And at the time, I also felt that's probably why I didn't value it to the same degree. Because if, like breathing, you think about when we're breathing, we don't think about how we breathe. We think about how we have to. So you don't really. We value it because we would die, but you know what I mean? We don't consider it as something that we have to worry about. It's not conscious.
Mm.
Painting for me was the same. As I'd started to develop techniques, I needed to learn that, which was conscious, but the intuitiveness to paint was there.
Yes.
So anyway, back to setting up my own company, which I ran, had lots of staff. It was doing very, very well. Yeah. And my painting continued for a while and then slowly got less and less and less. And what I found is that when I started to get really stressed again, I'd pick up a brush because it was that healing process for me. One piece took me 18 months to complete, not because it was 18 months worth of work, but because it was 18 months of me being hesitant and picking it up when I really was, oh my God, and then going, oh, just don't focus on that. Focus on the business. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
And then it was then that I just went, okay, I'm now at burnout phase number two. I can see it a mile off. I can feel it. It was crazy. It was a crazy busy period of time. So that's when I decided to move into painting professionally full time.
Yes. And was the catalyst was obviously heading towards that second breakdown and going, oh my God, I don't want to go there again, and knowing that I really need to be using this creative gift of mine to do something bigger and better. And that's when you started.
I didn't see what I had as a gift. It was just a part of me. And the older I was getting, the stronger it was yelling at me, going, what are you doing? This is what you need to be doing. And I also didn't really actually see how on that cusp of another burnout that I was my husband who sat me down one day and he's like, what the heck are you doing? He's like, you, if you don't change your life, you won't be alive by the time you're 45. And I just kind of took stock, and that took me a while. And I sat back and had to think about that and went, oh my God, he's right. It's time to do this. So it kind of felt like, they always say it's never too late to change your life, to change your world.
Yeah.
And so at the age of 42, that's when I went, okay, see you, corporate. I'm out of here.
Let's do
Bring
this.
On art. And it was kind of like, I think art was always ready for me, but I wasn't ready for it until that point.
It's about the journey, isn't it, that you have to go through to get to the point where you finally go, okay, this is what I should be doing and I need to do this and
so
not
much.
Deviate.
And
Was it a relief?
What's that?
Was it a relief, Tracy?
It was a massive relief, and it wasn't a hard decision. Like it so many people around me had thought that I was absolutely insane, that I was literally giving up a profitable, solid business to be in what they perceived a starving artist. Now, at no time did buy into their ethos anyway, because I'd already run a business. I'm just about to run another one that I'm passionate about.
You knew.
It wasn't even a question. It was literally
I have to do this.
And I think
I've thought about
this a lot, and I feel like as an artist, I think any creative person would be the same, but as an artist and to live this as your career, to create, there's three things you need to let go of in life, which is expectation, judgment, and fear. Now, those three things
Absolutely.
Are hugely ingrained in so many of us. We all
Aren't
have
they?
So much. It's how we live our lives. Look at COVID in Australia right now, just being political for a second. There's so much fear-mongering going on that that is what influences people's decisions, right?
Yeah.
So to create, and when you like getting corporate people into paint is interesting, because they have so much of this judgment and expectation, and it's self-judgment, not of other people, it's self-judgment.
And so self-judgment is a shocker.
Yeah, and that's scary to let go of those things, because it's what is our cornerstone.
Absolutely.
And you have to trust yourself in the process completely, which is also hellish scary as well.
Scary.
So
absolutely
much.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, and you'd be the same, I'm sure, but even now I still have these moments of like, oh my God, what am I doing? I need to just start painting. And when I start painting, it goes away.
It's good. For our American audience, Tracy and I've been talking about tall poppy syndrome, and you've heard me talk about this before on many other shows, but it's prevalent for Australians and New Zealanders
so much.
That we like to attack those that are doing well or bring them down, which is very different from many other cultures across the planet who lift up their people and support them. We're not great at that. So when Tracy and I talk about that mindset in the background, playing a script in our head is, I'm not good enough. I will
Absolutely.
Never be good at this. I will never be successful at this. And it's not true. It's just a thought. But it's so ingrained in us and in our culture that it sure does take some shifting, doesn't it, Tracy?
It does. And adding to that as well, also in the back of your mind is that, what are people going to think of me? Oh, I can't stand out too much because people aren't going to like me too much, or I can't be that person because I'm not going to fit in. So that tall poppy syndrome is a combination of all of those things. And I've developed thick skin. I've learned that that is actually not true, and I am who I am, and there are people who are going to love me and people who are not, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
And it's fully okay, but you're right. It takes a lot of shedding of those beliefs because we are brought up with it.
A lot of work.
Everywhere. Even little things like I remember at school dance, and I was dancing away and having a grand old time, and I just happened to glance at someone who was one of the cool kids, right? I so wasn't cool. I was a complete nerd. Anyway, I was dancing away, and he just looked at me and went, oh, no. And I was like, oh,
Tracy.
So that's the nature of the way in which we all grow up.
It is
what it is. Yeah. There's no judgment against that. It just is what it is. So you're right. To shed that takes a long time. So, and when I left my business, as I said, I had, I'd say, two very distinct camps. Let's say 50-50. I'd been in business for a long time, so I knew a lot of people. 50% of people would go, oh, my God, this is amazing. You are so brave. Bring it on. I can't wait to see what's happening. Yeah. And the other 50% of people looked at me, as I said earlier, like I was completely insane and ceased contact. So that in itself is a good example of exactly what we're saying. It's like, no, don't stand out from the crowd. Don't step out of what we are comfortable with, because that's not cool. So you have to just go, love you, moi, but that ain't me, so I'm doing my thing.
And the thing about that too, Tracy, is if you had have listened to those people that said, no, don't do that, we would have been deprived as a world of the beautiful creative paintings that you do. I can't imagine not seeing Tracy Eaton artworks. Imagine if we didn't have those, because what Tracy's art is just beautiful, and I am, quite frankly, that her biggest fan, and I love her work.
Thank you.
And to think that that would not be in the world because someone had said no to Tracy, you shouldn't be an artist, I can't imagine what that would be like. So here's the thing about not following your passion. You deprive the world of your unique, and I think it's a gift. I think that the way that Tracy paints is uniquely beautiful and an absolute gift to the world. So had Tracy not taken that challenge and not been brave enough to create Tracy Eaton art, then the world is deprived of that, and we need art and beauty in the world. There's something very special about sitting in front of artwork and almost meditating. For me, there is. I know a lot of people don't get that, but I do. One of my favorite things to do is
they may not consciously understand it. There is a level of subconscious interaction with any artwork that we can't, we just cannot deny that. And that's why art has been prevalent from ever since history.
Forever.
For me, you are dead right that I have always loved the idea of making people happy and inspiring people to do whatever it is that they want to do. If that's gardening, if it's cooking pancakes, I don't care. If it makes you happy, do it, right? It doesn't have to be a big thing, just whatever makes you happy. Being able to bring that to life through artwork and through colour specifically is just
colour, awesome. Definitely. Tracy, it's been a wonderful journey for you, actually, with your artwork. You have been commissioned to be the artist for the last 3 years for the Oscars. And I just thought quickly before we go on to our surprise segment at the end of towards the end of the show, can you tell us about that process? Because I've seen Tracy's artwork that she created for the Oscars, and I want you to tell the audience about that process and how it works and what the outcome was, because they're beautiful.
Thank you. Commercially, so business hat on for a moment. I was given the opportunity by a close contact to contact this particular organisation who did gifting for celebrities and award shows. And so I gave them a call and chatted about what that involved and what that looked like. And they were they were interested in having artwork in the gift bags that they provided to the nominees to celebrate their nomination. And I was like, well, that's cool, but if I'm going to do this, I want to be the only artist who does this. So I wanted exclusivity. So they were like, okay. So they went and stalked me. I went and stalked them, and we obviously worked out whether we were comfortable to work together, which we were. So therefore, for 3 years running, they commissioned me to provide artworks for the nominees for the Oscars, for the Golden Globes for 2 years, and for the Australian Olympics as well. And it was
pretty
interesting.
Exciting.
So it was very exciting. A lot of work. So the first year I decided that it would be amazing to do original artwork for every single recipient. There was 100 of them. And honestly, partway through the process, I remember walking out into my studio and I had just stuff, like paintings everywhere. Like, because they were small, because they'd be in a gift bag. And they were everywhere. And I remember walking out one morning to make my breakfast, turn around and went, oh my God, what are you doing? There's like so much art here. And that took me about, oh, I don't know, it was a good year and a half. And I ended up having to, honestly, the last few I didn't end up finishing, so I had to gift some that were like vouchers for originals. I ran out of time. It was a naive thing of me to think I could get through that many in such a short time. I was thinking, oh, that little, it's no big deal, we'll be fine. But, you know, I forgot that I had other clients as well that I was dealing with. So for the next 2 years, so for 2020 and for this year, I painted a series of originals for each year, which I then fine art printed and then hand embellished. So and some of them had resin as well over top, and they looked amazing. They were a little bit bigger, and the company changed how we gifted. So we gifted less and very personally. So each of these gift bags were delivered to their homes. On the night of where they were staying. So it was very personalized. And of course, I'm like, oh, I'll deliver them. Can you just, I'll get in the courier van and I'll come with you. And I'm like, not happening. and I get it. But what that meant though is I knew exactly what celebrity was getting what painting, which was great for me because I love painting with people or for people. So that allowed me to be a bit more specific around what I was painting and what piece, what celebrity got what painting. Mm. And then, of course, at the we auctioned every year, we auctioned off the original artwork that had created those pieces. But also to keep it different, because one thing that's important for me when I paint is that all my pieces are unique. So when someone's like buying a piece, they know that no one else is going to get it, which especially I think that's really important. So even with the ones that the celebrities received, they weren't the entire original. There was a piece of the original that I had blown up, manipulated, changed, adjusted, whatever. So I did quite a bit of digital work as well. And then, as I say, we hand embellished it. So that has now allowed me, and I can honestly say you guys are the first people I'm announcing this today for the first time. Yes. This has allowed me to actually move into selling fine art prints of those exact same prints that the celebrities received.
Originals.
No, prints, fine art prints. So we've taken
The print of the original.
Yeah. So we are selling, so one of my favourite celebrities that got one was Quentin Tarantino, for example. Oh my God, he's so cool. Ellen DeGeneres got another one.
I was showing my husband. I was showing my husband. I said, come and look at Tracy's painting for Quentin Tarantino, because my husband is nerdy and quirky too. And he's like, oh, wow. He thought that was pretty cool.
Exactly. So we are releasing today. People can now for the first time buy the replica of what the celebrities received. So I'm very excited. That's the first six have come on sale today.
Right, so that's today. Oh, fantastic.
It's not even on my social media yet. I'll be putting it on my social media later on today.
Yay. Awesome. So TracyEaton.com.
TracyEaton.com. That's the only place you can get them right now.
That's the only place you can get them. Yeah, and they are unique and they are beautiful. And it's like you've challenged that particular celebrity into that painting. Because I remember looking at Quentin's going, oh, God, that's him. I remember looking at Tom Hanks and going, oh, yeah, that's him. Like that's part of your process, isn't it? You like to spend time or, you know, I like to understand who they are.
Person, absolutely. And for them, obviously, I'm not going to be able to, I wasn't able to sit down and have a cup of tea and go, hey, how you doing?
Tell me.
I knew that was going to
be. Well, that'd be fantastic.
Well, I wouldn't be adverse to it at all. I would be totally okay if Tom wants to reach out and say, yo, Trace, let's chat. I'm good with that.
But
what I did do was as much research as I could and and find a way to understand as much as I can, obviously, based on it's hard to know what's real or what's not, but as much as I could about those people. And that's what helped me decide what pieces they were going to be getting. Color played an important part of that.
Yeah. And your intuition as well, Tracy, there's an intuitive component of creating artwork as well that you listen to quite easily to create those pieces around that particular person.
So much, actually. And I always knew that I was a very much an intuitive person, and I felt what people needed, which I think led me to wanting to make people feel good. Because I feel like I can walk into a room and I'll walk out and people go, oh, my God, I feel so much better. And it's just because I have a big energy, I think, and I feel people energy. So it was a no-brainer that when I started painting, that intuitive nature was definitely going to play a huge part in what I create and how I create. And every so often, you know, things will come into my head. I'm like, oh, don't be crazy. And like, no, I'm not doing that. And I quash it. And then next thing, you know, half an hour later, it comes back up again. Yeah. And in the end, I'm like, oh, for freak's sake. Okay.
Just do it.
I just don't question. I don't question that much at all now. And when I'm painting, like my husband, and you'll see if you've watched time lapses, but my husband laughs because he said, when you were in your zone, not only do I paint fast, but he said, you are all over the canvas. So I'm painting here and then I paint there. And he says, it's like you're seeing the whole thing at once, but it's not physically possible to do that, but I'm just everywhere. So I think that's part of that intuitive nature of how I paint and what I paint that comes to the fore when I'm in my zone.
So we're actually going to share some of that creative process with the audience, and Tracy and I decided that we should do something really special for this sixth series of shows. And because Tracy does lots of commissioning work, we wanted to show everyone in the audience how the commissioning process works. So I'm really privileged that Tracy's going to create an artwork for me, and we're going to talk about that creative commissioning process so that the audience gets to understand what goes into these magnificent creations that Tracy does. And so the last portion of each show each week for the next 6 weeks, we will be talking about this commissioning process and showing you the progress. So Tracy, let's talk about the commissioning process, and then we're going to show you the start of what this looks like.
Sure. Okay. I love painting commissions, and I think I'm a little bit unusual. A lot of artists don't. They get nervous about it, and I get it because you do have to paint to a deadline. But the amazing thing about it is knowing that I'm coming from a place of wanting people to feel good. I firmly believe that when I'm painting for you, I'm painting for you, when we started talking about this, my job is to help bring the vision of you or your space, your life, whatever is going on for you at that moment to life. That's it. Mm. So whilst it's a commission is definitely a fusion of your ideas and your energy and mine together. So I'm literally the conduit to make that happen, which to me, I think is a privilege and an honor and very, very exciting. So commissions are so much fun
for me too. Talking about this, we both got really excited, and then Tracy was going to come and visit my house and look at the spaces and decide which space.
We had a lockdown
and I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm walking around with Zoom on my phone going, okay, Trace, there's this space or this space. This is the space, I think, because of blah, 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 blah. And then I walked Tracy to the wall and then showed her the space around the wall. And then I walked outside and explained how we enter and look at that space. And Tracy's like, oh my God, I know what I'm going to do. And it was just so much fun. So there's no, Tracy can work with anyone from around the world because you just zoom into the space and have a talk about what's important to you. So that was the first part, wasn't it, Tracy? When we sort of decided on that idea and thought, oh, God, this could be fun. And I was a little bit nervous because I love artwork, and I thought, oh, my God, to have one of Tracy's paintings, what a privilege that is. And I'm like, oh, my God, but what will we do? But I didn't have to worry because
you don't have to worry about what we do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my job.
No.
That's totally my job. So the more, you're right, the more I understand about who you are, who your family is as well, because obviously a lot of, especially if it's a residential, it's going into a family space. Also practically what your space looks like and the decor and your colour tones that you're already drawn to. As you know, I do spend as much time as I can talking about that with you, and that helps me get a sense of who you are and also what energy you want the place to feel like. And then I do ask if people have any particular styles of paintings or colours painting that they've seen that they like, or to flick them through, which I did for you as well. And that is a really interesting process because I'll use you as an example and another one in a second. When we talked, Tony, you mentioned that you loved blues and the oceans scene and all that sort of thing. However, when the paintings that Tony sent through that you loved, they were purples, pinks, very few blues. And I started giggling. I'm like, oh, yeah, happened again. And the reason I said, and because what it does is because it pulls out what you're feeling right now and the core essence of what you're attracted to. I had another client who said they wanted this huge, big blue painting. Blue's popular. And I did the same thing. I was like, oh, flick me through some images of paintings you love. They sent me 22 paintings. Husband and wife.
Yeah.
And one of them was adamant they didn't want a particular colour tone. Now, all of these paintings were lime green and they were colour tones that they told me that they didn't want. And once again, I started giggling. I was like, okay, so there is something about that brightness that they were drawn to. So with further discussions and when I looked at the magentas and the purples, considering what you do,
it
made total sense.
Some of those Van Goghs.
What's that?
Some of those Van Goghs with the blues and then the pop of colour, I thought, that's quite nice. Yeah.
Exactly. So once I've got a sense of who I feel that you are, then I put a little bit of a concept document together because while something has already formed in my head, I also am very aware that not everybody is as visual as I am. So it's important for me to help my clients understand the style and the type of colour and things that I'm going to be creating on with. So I put that all, I'd explain all of that. I give you physical, like visual examples of the style of things. And whilst nothing will be replicated exactly, you walk away with
a pretty general idea.
Now I know what I'm getting. So coming back to what you said, you're right. You don't have to worry about what it's going to look like because I'm going to do that for you.
No.
That's my job.
Yeah.
And then I'll show you what it's going to look like.
I was blown away. I was blown away by the document in itself and the depth of work that you put in to create just the concept and the colour psychology. And so in this last 5 minutes, we're going to show you the start of what that looks like. And Tracy's going to step back from the camera just a little bit so she can show us what that looks like. The other thing that Tracy and I discussed, I love the tactile feel of work that has embellishment or heavier and lighter, and Tracy's going to create that too for me as well. So I'm going to hand over to Tracy for our last 5 minutes to show you what the start of it looks like.
Well, your canvas is in the other room. Oh my God. Massive anticipation until next week because the canvas is so pre-built. I will explain it though because we do build everything in house.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I'm not interested and I didn't like the quality that you could get over the shelf. So we build, we stretch our own canvases, we build the framework, We are very particular as well. So what that means is that there's no warping of our canvases. A lot of canvases and MDF board will warp. We also means we can make it exactly to whatever size that we want. So I have no standardization with my sizes. Like the one behind me is a piece that
which is beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like that magenta.
Another beginning of my latest range. Watch this space.
Yes.
I'm working along with my commissions. I'm doing an exhibition next year, and these are the beginnings of my exhibition product. The first stage is to build the canvas. Once we've done that, if people want to see photographs of the process, I'm very happy to share it. What I do find, though, is a lot of people get a little bit anxious about that because my paintings are so layered. So even with that one behind me, there's already like four
layers.
That's
not what it's going to look like.
No, exactly. So phase one not what the painting is going to end up looking like. So it's important. But if you're interested, I'm very happy to show that to people. They can be part of me while I'm painting. And then, of course, at the end, when we also install and deliver where at all possible as well. So even internationally, if it was viable, if there was a larger opportunity we were working on, I'd be very happy to jump on a plane and make sure that the installation was as we expected. That's important to me too. So we do have, call me a control freak, but there's a little bit of, oh my God, I've got detail going on. That's scary that there is some detail moments in my process because I'm starting with that document because I want it to be very clear and on time and professional.
And it is clear. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That document encompasses everything that Tracy and I have talked about. It goes into detail discussing some of the colours and the tones and what they mean in terms of the psychology behind those colours. And I thought that was just amazing. I was just blown away just by the document, and we hadn't even started yet. Tracy's going to do some time lapse when we do this painting as well, and that's going to be available on both Tracy and my websites. And we're also going to put it on YouTube so people can actually see that creative process, because I just think I love it. One of the other things I was going to say when Tracy was talking about the way that she custom makes the frames that her artwork goes on is that when she's working with resin, which is a heavier product, Tracy layers aluminium behind the canvas and then they create the framework around it so that you know that your painting and artwork is going to stay beautifully solid and also protected. Lots of elements.
One of the issues with anything heavy, so if you're doing any fluid work or resin or anything like that, if you're purely only on canvas, and I paint big people, I don't just do I love big, it kind of suits my personality, so big's good. But canvas will dip. So unless you want to actually you can. If you want to use that to create a particular effect, go nuts. And I do that from time to time because if I want things to pull in a certain area, I don't want it to be level. But it does get heavy. That's why some artists choose to work when it's bigger on like a solid like wood board or something like that. I love the texture of canvas. I'm a texture freak myself. So the texture of canvas is, I don't know, I just want to, I love what it does to paint and how paint goes on. So that's why we put an aluminium panel behind it to keep it solid, but then I can still paint on my canvas as well. So it's good.
Fantastic. Tracy, we are actually out of time. And so I have to round you up, which I love talking to you. You know that next week on the show, we will be back with Tracy to talk more about her exclusive artworks and more of her about her process. And of course, to see the commissioning work that she's working on for me and to talk a little bit more about that. But that's our lot for this week. Tracy Eaton, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is Art You Deserve. And we will be back same time next week with another episode talking everything art with Tracy Eaton. Thank you, everyone, and bye for now.
See ya.